You see people bring up toxic masculinity. A lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we're talking to young men about how to grow and mature in your faith. We are addressing Generation Z, and we want to encourage you guys. We love you guys, and I know that living in this world's not easy. And so we're moving into a part two of a series that we're calling Amusing Ourselves to Death. Last time, I read to you out of 1 John 2:15 through 17, do not love the world nor the things in the world, for if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Are you amusing yourself to death? Do you live in the world, but you're not of the world? I hope that would be true of you, young man. You don't want to end up like Thomas Jefferson, who was someone who cut out, like literally, cut out pages of his Bible that he didn't like, and he called it the Jefferson Bible. I wonder if you're making a Bible of your own making, maybe not literally, but figuratively, getting rid of passages that you don't care for, avoiding other passages that are convicting. And so I wanted to kind of kick into a little series here about five areas which we're being tempted to amuse ourselves to death. And the first area is God, my heart, and media. And I was asking you on the last show, how much media exposure do you have? And are you making wise choices about the kind of media that you're inviting into your life? Because just like we don't want to have bad friends that influence us negatively, like 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived, bad company corrupts good morals. And if that's true, then in the same way, we don't want to be inviting media, if we were to see them maybe as friends, into our life to influence us for evil. So the question I ended with last time is, do you keep good company or bad company when it comes to your media habits? I mean, consider what Ephesians 5 tells us we ought to be thinking about. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But then it says, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, no foolish talk, no crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So what is that passage saying? You got to be careful, guys, about your choices, about what's influencing you. We want to imitate God and not the world. Do we want to make sure that we're staying far away from sexual immorality and impurity and covetousness? We got to stay far away from filthiness and foolish talk and crude joking, which are all out of place. And I'm just telling you, a lot of the media choices that you make are filled with that garbage. We watch it. We tolerate it. We laugh at it. We know it's not right, but somehow we're drawn to it because everyone seems to be doing it. Well, don't you want Christ to shine on you? Don't you want to be filled with his power and his love? We got to be careful about God, my heart, and media. You got some choices to make. One verse I love thinking about when I think about this topic is Psalm 101, verses 2 through 4. Check out what this psalmist says. He says, I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. man alive. I think about that passage when I think about media choices I'm making in my home, right? Because this verse talks about I need to be walking around with integrity in my own house. It says, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. It says, I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. I wonder, young man, if you were to be honest, is media clinging to you? Is entertainment clinging to you? Are the things that you watch and the things that you are involved in, so far as media choices that you make, causing your heart to be perverse? Is evil having a dominant influence in your life? Again, I'm not saying that all TV and all movies and all YouTube clips are bad. I'm saying that we need to be careful. I'm saying we need to be disciplined. I'm saying that we need to be mindful, and we want to watch TV through a lens of gratitude. I mean, it's like Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him, to God the Father, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So what I'm saying is, if you can't give thanks to God, maybe you shouldn't be involved in it. Now, let me just give you a couple of thoughts about watching TV or your media choices. Let me just give you these thoughts. I'll list them out for you here. Gen Z, if you don't have your parents' permission, don't watch it. Again, some of you guys listening to this show, you might be a young teenager. And if you're a young teenager, your parents are probably still somewhat involved in what movies that you can watch or you can't watch, or what shows you can watch and what you can't watch. So Gen Z, if you're on the younger side of this phase of life, I want to make sure you're checking in with your parents, that you're discussing with them what would be appropriate and not appropriate. And if you're sneaking around the house, and if you're watching stuff, whether it be on Prime Video or Netflix or just on YouTube that you know doesn't honor God, that you know your parents wouldn't approve of, then don't watch it. All right. How about if you're a little bit older, okay, you're part of Gen Z, you're a Christian. If you haven't spent devotional time with God, do that first. I like to encourage my kids to seek the face of God before they seek the face of man. And what I mean by that is when they get up in the morning, particularly if it's like a holiday or the weekend or in the summer, I want to challenge them, guys, before you start watching entertainment, you need to spend time with God. Make sure you open the Word. Make sure that you dive into deepening your relationship with God so that you can find true joy and true satisfaction. That stuff coming through the tube is going to only be distracting you and tempting you to want what it is that the world is advertising. So can I just encourage you, Christian? You shouldn't be turning on the TV or scrolling on your phone if you haven't spent devotional time with God. God comes first. Entertainment is a secondary situation that we want to be involved in. But man, I hope that your heart is more hungry for God than any media choice. And then maybe another thing to think about, if you can't thank God with a clear conscience for a particular program or movie, then you shouldn't watch it. That's right. If you can't give God thanks, like again, Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. So if you can't say, God, thank you for allowing me to see this. Thank you for what I'm learning, or thank you for some clean entertainment. I think we can thank God for some clean entertainment. But if it's not clean entertainment, then you're going to have trouble maintaining a clear conscience and thanking God for a particular program that's designed to be anti-God, anti-Bible, and anti-purity. So I just want to encourage you guys, when you think about worldliness, don't amuse yourselves to death when it comes to God, my heart, and media. All right, let me move on to a second area where I think we're amusing ourselves to death, and that would be number two, God, my heart, and music. You love music, and so do I. I know we're guys, and not all of us are musicians, you know, because some of us are jocks, and we like to think of ourselves as being into sports, or maybe you're into hunting or fishing, and you're a man. There are many men who are into music, and that's cool too, but we all like music, right? We all love music, and let me just remind you today, did you know that music is God's idea? He invented it. He told King David, who was a man after his own heart, to schedule musicians who would play and sing regularly before his presence at the tabernacle. The scriptures talk about that in 1 Samuel 13 and in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And then the Psalms regularly exhort us to sing a new song to the Lord and to praise him to the sound of musical instruments. Psalm 33 and Psalm 150 talks about, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Jesus was into music and he was into singing. In fact, Jesus sang songs with his disciples. Did you know that? Matthew chapter 26, verse 30 says, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And so we are told in the Bible that we are to be singing songs. We're told that we are to be speaking to one another through song, like in Ephesians 5:19, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Zephaniah 3:17 says that God will rejoice over you with joy, and some versions say with singing. So if Jesus sang, if God sang, then certainly music is something that will continue into all eternity, where we will sing praises to the Lamb who was slain. And so what we're saying is that music is a wonderful thing. Music is a tool to help us love and glorify and worship God. Music is something that God invented, and we ought to want to be involved in listening to music and playing music and singing songs that would glorify Him. But we got to be careful that we're not using music to amuse ourselves to death. So don't go away, because when you come back from this break, I want to give you some cautions about how you can enjoy music but not allow it to amuse yourself to death.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Adam Tyson in just a moment. He's going to keep tightening the screws on what you let shape your heart. And if you want a little bit of help to get past all of the noise, put Fortis Plus to work this week. If you haven't downloaded it on your mobile device or your smart TV yet, you are missing out. Fortis Plus is like the Netflix of solid biblical content. You can pick one of our resources and you can keep going every single day. Watch a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow, a little more the next night. You'll find Way of Manhood and all of the podcasts we produce there, plus all of the content that all of our fellows are producing. You can download it right now from the App Store, where you download all of your apps on your mobile device, or the streaming app store on your smart TV, or you can just go to fortisplus.org. And the best part, there's no cost to you. There's no trial that turns into a bill. You just open it up. You can listen, you can watch, you can learn, and then you can share it and pass it along. And this open access that exists because some of our listeners and supporters decided the next person should be able to hear and view truth without any restraints. They believe in the content that we're producing, reaching more believers in more places all over the world. So what they did was joined us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. So if Fortis Institute, if the Way of Manhood, if they have helped you and you're already faithfully giving to your local church, which is what comes first, would you start praying about and possibly considering what it might look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner so that more men can get this content freely? See what it would mean for you right now at Fortis Institute. .org. And also, guys, for those of you listening that may be weighing college decisions, maybe you're helping a son who's a high school senior make one, look at the Masters University. Look hard at the Masters. It's designed to form conviction and build real confidence side by side. Professors like Dr. Adam Tyson and Dr. Greg Gifford teach you how to handle scripture accurately and then carry that into your life, into fields like engineering, business, biblical counseling. You can start the conversation right now at masters.edu/manhood. All right, let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson. Now, this is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Well, welcome back, as we're in the middle of a series on worldliness and amusing ourselves to death. And we're trying to caution young men, Gen Z, from being careful to make good media choices where you can give thanks to God in the things that you watch. And now we're talking about, not only is it about the things you watch, but it's about the things that you listen to. Music was invented by God and is meant to be used by all of us to enjoy, to praise, and to worship Him. I like Bob Coughlin. He's a part of the Sovereign Grace music industry. He writes a lot of really good praise and worship songs. He served in years past as a worship pastor with C.J. Mahaney, and he talks about all the varieties of music, and he even asks the question, what style of music will there be in heaven? He says that he fears that there may be opera in heaven. I don't know about you, but I think the most important question we should ask when it comes to music isn't necessarily the style. Style's important, But what we should be looking at is the content. Are my music choices consistent with the gospel that has saved me? I mean, I believe that we must ask lots of questions like this when we're making music decisions, because music can be more dangerous than most of us realize. It has the potential to harden our hearts and to weaken our faith. In fact, a wise Christian understands that listening to music without discernment and godly intent reveals a heart willing to flirt with the world. I mean, if you're just mindlessly allowing any music to come into your earbuds without being discerning, then you're really flirting with disaster. And so when I'm thinking about what kind of music choices I'm going to make, I like to think about Philippians 4:8, which says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." So I like to consider that verse when I'm making media choices and when I'm making music choices. And instead of saying, "Think about these things," we could say, "Hey, you gotta introduce the idea of, can you sing about these things?" I mean, what people say is like, "Well, I don't really care about what's being said or what's being communicated via the lyrics. I just like the beat. I don't really listen to the words." I mean, my word, that's the most foolish, ancient, childish argument you could ever come up with, right? I mean, I used to say it when I was a kid. My kids say it to me, "Dad, I don't really hear the words. I just like the beat. I like that sound." Well, I would say to you, young man, that's just being plain foolish. That's deception. And so we're going to be exposed to music, but we can make some choices to guard what comes into our ears, right? Just like you want to guard what comes into your stomach, what kind of food you eat. You might say, "I don't know about the nutritional value. I just like the way it tastes." Well, that works like for your first bite of a candy bar, but you can't eat 17 candy bars a day and have the nutrition that you need to be a healthy person, right? And in the same way, you can't just listen to whatever music that sounds good and maintain a healthy soul. And so again, people say, "I just like the beat." I think you're being foolish, and I think you're really dodging the question because you're being deceived. And the truth is, what we are going to expose ourselves to, like music and movies, is going to be part of what defines us. Now, again, you can't help all the music that you hear. You might be working out in the gym and there's music playing in the background. You might be at work and the radio's on. You know, you might be in some setting and their music is just always on. And so you can't control what you listen to, but you can be careful that you don't desire it and listen more to it in the privacy of your own home and in the privacy of your own car. You know, consider something like Proverbs 14:15 that says, "The naive believes everything, but the sensible man considers his steps." So again, you don't want to just go along with everything that you hear. You want to be sensible in your steps about what you're limiting, about what it is that you're listening to. Let me give you some challenging thoughts about using music for God's glory, okay? Music used for God's glory. First of all, I think you should elevate your current intake of music prayerfully. That's right. I think you should evaluate and then elevate the choices that you make prayerfully. I don't think you should just say mindlessly, "Well, I can't help it," or "This is popular," or "I'm going to listen to whatever all my friends are listening to." That's being foolish. A wise person would say, "Yeah, but I need to evaluate the content. And then I want to elevate what it is that I'm listening to." In fact, you can do that by deleting and throwing away all music that doesn't confirm God's glory or the gospel. Again, I got to be careful here. I'm not literally saying you can never, ever listen to a secular song. Occasionally, I might listen to some secular music. And so it is possible to listen to secular music and enjoy it to the glory of God, particularly if it's a good ballad or it's a good narrative or it's talking about enjoying life and God's creation and maybe a love that you have between a husband and a wife. And so there's all kinds of music that's technically secular, but it really can be enjoyed to the glory of God. What I don't want to do is listen to music that goes strictly against Christ, against Scripture, against the morals of the Bible. So if the music that you're listening to, for example, is encouraging you to kill somebody, like some of that gangster rap, you got to be careful, right? Or if the music that you're listening to is encouraging you to get drunk, I would just say, well, that doesn't honor God. Or if the music that you're listening to is encouraging you to have sex with your girlfriend, I'm just telling you, there's no way that music honors God. So you got to really think through what we're saying here, because you want to be balanced and you want to be biblical and you want to have a conscience and you want to make sure you're not amusing yourself to death by mindlessly listening to anything and everything that's coming through the radio. And so I really think that we should be listening to more and more Christ-centered music. I mean, why not? Why not listen to the Christian radio? Why not play those worship songs? Why not listen to that Christian rap that does actually articulate scriptural truths about the glory of God? So I want to encourage you to maybe even broaden your musical tastes. You know, if you're into rap, doesn't mean you have to listen only to Christian rap. If you're into heavy metal, doesn't mean you have to only listen to heavy Christian metal, like Stryper. If you remember that band, that's an old one, all right? But I'm just saying, I do think Christians should develop a lot of different listening habits to a lot of different music that can broaden their taste and help them enjoy various types of music and genres of music that would help them glorify God. And I think that you should be able to intentionally thank God every time you enjoy music. So you should consider not just the sound of the instruments, but the words that are being said. Why? Because I'm afraid that many of us are amusing ourselves to death. And so we got to be careful when we think about God, my heart, and media. We got to be careful when we think about God, my heart, and music. And now let me move to number three. I want you to think also today about God, my heart, and stuff. I mean, it was on November the 26th, 1922, that Howard Carter made an archaeological history by unearthing the tomb of the infamous King Tut. And it was an extraordinary discovery that was made even more remarkable, because do you remember what he found when he dug up King Tut's tomb? He dug up a lot of King Tut's treasures. King Tut was buried in his tomb, and his tomb contained most of his treasures. You see, in some cultures, the pagan beliefs were that you can take it with you. And so King Tut was wrong about that, and he was a fool. He thought he could keep the stuff that mastered him most along with him to the afterlife. Well, that's wrong, because we know that while King Tut left the building, his stuff remains. It's perpetually on tour now, like a 70s classic rock band, all of King Tut's stuff traveling around the world. And so it would be foolish to think that you can take all of your stuff with you. It would be foolish to set your heart on your stuff that you think it's eternal. It's kind of reminding me here of the fool that Jesus talks about in the Bible. I mean, just listen to Luke 12, 16 through 21, where it says that he told them a parable, Jesus did, and he said, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is it with the one who lays up for himself treasure on earth and is not rich toward God.'" Now, again, if you consider that story, sometimes our hearts get attached to our stuff. And we think that in this world that having more stuff will make us happy. We think that having more stuff is something that we need. And somehow it's almost as if we're thinking we can take that stuff with us. And so when we come back to our next session next time, I want to talk to you about four chains that bind our hearts to the world and all the stuff in it. So again, we're right here in the middle of a series on worldliness, amusing yourself to death. Don't amuse yourself to death when it comes to media choices, music, or gathering more stuff. Let me pray for us as we close today. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the love that Christ fills us with. And I pray that you would give us discernment as young men, as part of Generation Z, that we would never be amusing ourselves to death. Help us to be careful about the choices we make with media, music, and the things that we gather. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.